We're doing Rosh Hashanah. We're up to Gimel Amud Aleph, the middle of the page, about five lines down from the Akrivu. The last word on the line is Yirmiyah. Hadar Amar of Yirmiyah. Now, what we had seen is that grains and olives, their year for Truma Meiser and Shemitah is defined on when they attain a third of their maturity. And we brought a pasuk for that. We'll get back to the pasuk in a few minutes. But Rav Yirmiyah had questioned, do the rabbis really know the difference between crops that are have ripened the third or not? And he said, haven't I told you to stick in line with tradition? The rabbis do know. That's the way tradition works. 40 saha is a kosher mikvah. Minus a kurtov, not a kosher mikvah. The volume of an egg is tomei tumas ochlin. If it's missing, even the volume of a sesame seed, it's not. 3 by 3 fingers are tamei medris. 3 by 3 missing a thread are not tamei medris. So that's what Rav Zera tells Rav Yirmiyah. That's the way it works. The rabbis know how to tell whether a fruit or a grain has ripened a third of its ripeness. Then Rav Yirmiyah himself said, actually, what I said is wrong. How? I'll prove it to you. I have a proof that the rabbis do know how to discern between grains and crops that reach a third of their maturity and those that have not yet reached that stage. Rav Kahana, because Rav Kahana's friends asked him, where did the Jews have grains to bring the Omer sacrifice when they entered the land of Israel? You'll tell me they just harvested Gentile property, that it grew by the Gentiles, and then they took it over and they harvested it, and then they brought the sacrifice from those grains. That doesn't work. The Torah says that the Omer sacrifice has to be brought from our own first harvest, not a Gentile's first harvest. So where did they have crops from? Where did they have grains to harvest to bring the Omer sacrifice? So the Gemara says, hold on. Who told you they brought the sacrifice? Maybe you're right. They didn't have grains and they did not bring the sacrifice. No, don't entertain such a thought. They did bring the Omer sacrifice. Because the pasuk says, they started eating the crops of the land of Israel the morning after Pesach. They waited till the morning after the Paschal offering, but when they first entered the land of Israel, they did not eat from the grains, because the Torah says we have a biblical prohibition not to eat the grains of the land of Israel. That's called chadash, the new grains, until the Omer sacrifice is brought. So you see, they waited for the Omer sacrifice to be brought. So you see, they brought the Omer sacrifice. Takrivu Omer, they brought the Omer sacrifice, v'hadarachli, and then they could eat the new crops. So then the question comes back, me'echan akrivu. They asked Rav Kahana, where did they get grains from that were grown by a Jew in the land of Israel to bring the Omer sacrifice? Amar lahen, Rav Kahana answered them, kol shelo vishlish biad nochi. You have to say what they did was they took crops that had not ripened a third of their ripeness by a non-Jew. So they took over his land before it ripened a third, and then it ripened a third when in Jewish possession, and then that's enough, that's considered that it grew by a Jew, that they could bring the Omer sacrifice. So how could they know which crops had reached a third of the maturity or not? V'din ma'ayil v'lo kimlehu. So then according to me, Rav Yirmiyah concludes his proof. He says, maybe it had matured a third of its maturation, and they just didn't know it. Ella, but you have to say, kimlehu, that they knew how to discern between crops that had reached a third of maturation and those that had not. So if they knew it when they entered the land of Israel, and they knew it enough to discern and bring the Omer sacrifice, hachanami kimlehu, so then here too, the rabbis, when they give us this formula, you have to say that they know how to discern between crops that reach a third of maturation and those that don't. That's Rav Yirmiyah's proof against himself. He says, my question wasn't a good question. The rabbis know. So the Gemara is going to question his own proof. Yeah.
Why do you think he said his statement and then brought a... And said afterwards he was wrong.
I guess he realized it later.
He remembered maybe the...
Yeah. So then the Gemara says, wait a second, the din maloil klal. Maybe what they did was they took over the land when the crops were not yet ripe at all. But maybe once it ripened a quarter of its ripeness, then to discern so well between a third or less than a third, maybe that they do not know how to discern. The Gemara says, no, don't think it that way. Because if you look at the dates, the Pasuk says, that when did they come out of the Jordan? 10 days into the month of Nisan. So 5 days later, the morning after the Paschal offering, on the 15th of Nisan, they have to bring the offering. And if you'll tell me this grain did not have any maturation, so then, do grains fall out? Do they ripen in 5 days? But you have to say that it did ripen a small amount, a quarter of the way or a small amount of the way. Akati, the Gemara says, still, what have you resolved? The Chamisha Yomi Mikamalia? How does it fully ripen in 5 days? You want to harvest it and bring a sacrifice, you need ripe crops. But what do you have to say? You have to say the land is called the land of the deer. Just like the deer runs quickly, so do crops in Israel ripen quickly. So you're telling me in 5 days it ripened to become fully ripened from less than a third. So once you're saying it ripened two-thirds of the way, so you could say it ripened three-quarters of the way. So who said? So once you're telling me it was miraculously quick to ripen, so then hachanami over here too. What are you going to say? It was quick to ripen, and therefore the Gemara knocks down Rav Yirmiyah's proof against himself. The Gemara says, if you have to come on to this miracle and say that it ripened quickly, so okay, maybe it wasn't just at the third mark. Maybe it was very clearly less than a third, and then it ripened, and then they brought the sacrifice.
How do we know they brought Omer in the first 3 years anyway?
So that's from the puzzle, because it says they waited until the day of the bringing of the Omer to eat from the crops of the land. So we understand from that they brought the Omer. That's what they were waiting for. That's the Gemara's understanding. Okay. So now that we finished that whole discussion, we go back to the original discussion. What were we saying? We were saying, how do you know that the gauge is whether the crops reach a third of their ripeness before Rosh Hashanah or not? Because the Pasuk says, V'chag asif betzet ha-shana. And we understand that to mean that the holiday, ha-asif, what you harvest on Sukkot, is betzet ha-shana, is considered like the year that just left. That's how we darshan the Pasuk. So we're darshaning the word ha-asif to mean that which you harvest. V'chag on Sukkot, ha-asif, that which you harvest, betzet ha-shana, gets counted as like the year that just left. That's how we're darshaning the Pasuk. Matkiv la Rav Chanina. So Rav Chanina attacks what we just said. Can you really darshan the Pasuk that the word asif means literally that which you harvest? That's how we're saying. We're saying v'chag asif means that which you harvested on the chag, on Sukkot. But the verse describes that Sukkot comes at the time when you gather from your grain and your oil press. The Amar Mar, and we have the following quote, that what the Pasuk is telling me is that you can make schach out of the leftovers, so to speak, the parts that you don't need of your granary and your olive press. Meaning, what the Pasuk is telling me is that Chag HaSukkot, just like you call it Chag HaSukkot, and you don't say any time it's called Chag HaSukkot, it's a drasha, you just say that's its name. By the same token, the holiday can also be called Chag HaAsif. Meaning, Chag HaAsif, you can't use the word Asif as a drasha, because when the Pasuk tells me that be'ospecha, that the sukkah can be made of all your collectibles, so to speak, the things that collect on the side that are not used when you put together the grains and the olives and you press the olives. So then, in other words, what the word Chag HaAsif means is that's the name of the holiday. Just like the holiday is called Chag HaSukkot, and you don't say, every time you say Chag HaSukkot, it's a drasha. You say, no, that's what I'm talking about. So I tell you, Chag HaSukkot. By the same token, I could call it Chag HaAsif, because that's the identifier. Asif is that leftovers that you use for schach. So then, just like Sukkot means, oh, the schach, so Asif also is a code for the schach, and then the word Asif is not superfluous. You can't use it for a drasha. It's just that it's another way of calling the holiday. Amar Rav Zera, Hamilta Havai Biadan. Rav Zera says, you know what? We thought we had a handle on this. We thought we had a good drasha to figure out how the rabbis knew to go by a third. Vata Rav Chanina Shadi Banalga. Along came Rav Chanina, threw his axe at it. We got to start from scratch. Okay, we lost our proof. Rav Chanina, we accept his disproof. The word Chag HaAsif is not superfluous. You can't darshan it. So now we're back to square one. How do we know to define the grains and the olives based on bringing a third, that when they're a third ripe, that defines their year for Truma, Meiser, and Shemitah? Ela Minalan. Okay, so where do we get this concept from? Kiditanya Rabbi Yonatan ben Yosef Omer. Rabbi Yonatan ben Yosef says the following drasha. When the Torah describes what will be when we keep Shemitah, so the Torah says, you keep Shemitah, v'asat etatva lishlosh hashanim, and the grains will produce for 3 years, because you don't eat on the seventh year, and on the eighth year you're just planting, and you'll only harvest on Pesach of the ninth year. So you need 3 years worth of crops. You're not harvesting in the seventh year. You couldn't plant at the end of the sixth year, so you don't have a harvest on the seventh year. You're not planting in the seventh year. You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to plant anything that'll grow into Shemitah. You can't plant.
Okay.
So you don't have anything to harvest in the seventh year, or at least you didn't plant. You don't have a real harvest. You're not planting on the seventh year, so you don't really have food on the eighth year. And then it's only at the middle of the ninth year. And if the eighth year was Yovel, so Bichlal, you only at the end of the ninth year do you start harvesting. So sometimes you need that v'asat atva lishlosh hashanim, that
plant on the Yom Kippur of right after Shemini Atzeret of year one, and you have a Pesach of year one. Year one, eight.
Fine.
And where does nine come from?
When it's Yovel.
Ah, okay.
So the Torah promises, I'll give you crops for 3 years. We darshan that pasuk al tikri. We're up to Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Al tikri lishlosh, ela lishlish. It's a type of drasha that we say the word lishlosh could also be read as lishlish. Vasat etatvua, it will produce the crops lishlish. We read it as though it would say to a third, meaning when the crops reach a third of their ripeness, that's called v'asat etatvua. That's called that the crops have ripened. So that's the drasha we're suggesting, that that's how we know that that when crops reach a third, that when grains reach a third, that's considered ripe halachically. V'ami bai lele gufe. Wait a second, but don't you need the pasuk for its simple meaning? That you're going to get this blessing, that Hashem will give you produce for 3 years? Answers the Gemara, Ktiv Kachina. No, that I have another pasuk that answers that question. What are you going to eat that time? That pasuk says, Uzratem tashana shminit, v'achaltem natva yashan ad hashana tshiit. You have another pasuk that says you'll plant on the eighth year, and you'll have old crops to eat till the ninth year, till you can harvest those crops, till they're ready to be eaten. So that's the answer. We read it as though it would say lish lish. Okay, that's the conclusion of this one. Once we started discussing how we treat grains when they become ripe, so we expand the discussion and we quote the Mishnah in Shviyas that discusses different crops, how they ripen. Tanan Hatam. We have a Mishnah over there in Shvius. Ha'orez v'adochan. Okay, so there's a very important Rashi here. The Rashi says about Orez and Dochan that they're a type of kidneys, and Dochan is Milu. This is a big discussion in Halacha. What is Orez? Is Orez what we commonly call today rice? Rashi over here doesn't say it. And Brochos Rashi discusses it. And the wonderful Mefarish in the back called the Metargim. And on the back of the Gemaros, you have one who translates Rashi's French into German.
Well, that helps.
Well, sometimes it does. It's called the Hametargem. It usually appears around the Pirshim Shnayis LaRambam. Here you go, right after the Pirshim Shnayis LaRambam. Right after the Rush, you have Pirshim Shnayis LaRambam. I don't know in these new editions where they stuck him in. Before the Marsha. In the regular Shasin. It's after the Rush, before the Marsha. So I don't know where they put it. The Metargim writes over here. He says, Orez dochan mine kitnios en miliu. He says, Hirza. The ayin ha-metargim brachos. The difficulty in using the Metargim is that he often says, ayin, ayin, ayin. Go look over there. You look over there and he says, okay, now go look over there. Like he sends you on a wild goose chase. But it's worthwhile. You open up the Metargim in brachos, suddenly you see a whole discussion. Wait a second. What is this Orez? What is the dochan? Because there's a big discussion in the Gemara over there. Is Dochan like Orez or not? Okay, so Orez and Dochan, we'll assume that Orez is what we call rice.
And Dochan is what?
Dochan, I don't know.
Is it?
Yeah, so he says, Hirzo, the Ayin and Hametargim in Brochos, Lamed Zayin Amad Aleph. Okay, we'll open up a Brochos. We need to get a Brochos anyways. So, in Brachos, Lamed Zayin, Rashi writes, Orez Mil, Dochan Panatz, Fenis, maybe, I don't know.
Mil Panatz?
Mil, that's what Rashi writes on Orez. Over here Rashi wrote that Dochan is Milu. Over there Rashi writes that Orez is Mil. Okay, so who would notice Rashi's French? Only a Frenchman. Okay, so the Metargim noticed. And then the Metargim and Rashi says, over here in Brochos, Orez Mil, he says that's Hirza. The Tosu Sevil Yesh Mefarshim Orez Raizu. Tosu says that that's rice, what Tosu says. Dochan, Rashi says, is Fanatz. And in German, it's called Spanya, in our French. And then he quotes another bunch of German words, Pankalhirs, and Buchweizen, and Heidkorn.
Smell this in Hebrew.
Now you can look at it over here.
How would they use it?
Wow. Buchweizen, and
like
Heidkorn.
Okay.
Okay.
Corn. Corn.
I don't know.
You said it was a modern French word?
Yeah, it says Spanya.
Spinach?
I don't think so.
No. Spanya. Where is it?
Over here. Sifnia, Safnia, Sufnia, Sapnia. I don't know. Okay. Back to Agamar. So you see, there seems to be contradiction in Rashi. Over here he says, Orez is Mil, and Dochan is Fanatz, and over there, in Rosh Hashanah, he says that Dochan is Mil. Okay?
It's weird.
Interesting. Back to our Gemara. So the Mishnah in Shviyas says Orez and Dochan, and Pragin, which Rashi says is Mako in Laz, Makav, Makau, Mako, I don't know what that is. And Shum Shemin, which is probably sesame seeds, Sheshishu Lifnei Rosh Hashanah, that took root before Rosh Hashanah, Mitaslin Neshaval. Then you take off the Miser like the year before. That meaning, what defines their year? When they took root, when their roots take hold. Mutarin Vashvit, and then they would be permissible on Shemitah if they took hold before Shemitah, before Rosh Hashanah. V'im lav, and if the roots did not take hold before Shana Asurin Bashvit, then if that year is Shemitah, they're prohibited. Mitaslin Shana Ba'ah, and you harvest them based on the year in which you'll harvest them, meaning you don't go by the previous year because they did not take root in that year. So that's the Mishnah in Shvius, and off of that, we're going to pick up a conversation, a whole discussion about different crops, what defines their year.